Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. You are precious people. And Sue and I are just delighted to be with you. And it's been great to be in your country and an honor. And we truly do love John and Susan. We're coming to know other pastors. And I do believe the Lord is doing something. And I believe it's in the world. I believe we are in the midst of a true move of God and an emergence of His amazing grace. When I first started 35 years ago in ministry, boy, it was tough. And I'm saying the same things now, maybe a little better, but I'm saying the same things now that I said 35 years ago. And it just wasn't received. Now it is amazing everywhere we go. The hunger for God's Word. Amen. The hunger for the amazing grace of Jesus. And so I just want to thank you for being here. And truly from the heart again, it's an honor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. It has truly led us to repentance. Thank you for our friend, the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. The one that you sent to lead and guide us into all truth. I pray he not be quenched or grieved in our heart or in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me utterance in this particular situation and setting. I pray again that I would speak with accuracy and simplicity and sanity in the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I had a flashback. A man said, I heard you pray one time and said you prayed for sanity. You could tell he hadn't heard very many preachers. Amen. No offense to the preachers that are here. I are one. But we need to speak with clarity and simplicity and accuracy and bring sanity to the things of God and the kingdom of God. So let's delve into Mark chapter 4 again. And if you're here for the first time, I apologize. I laid a foundation in our last session. I covered a lot. And I just want to invite you to somehow review the material, whatever means or method they have it available. Because I shared on the power of seeds and the principle of seeds and how life works in general as it relates to seeds and how God's entire kingdom works as it relates to seed, time, and harvest. In Mark chapter 4, let's look at these passages again, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. He doesn't understand all the mysteries associated with the seed, but he had enough sense to sow it. Amen? Hey, women? Hey, anybody? He doesn't understand. I don't understand everything about seeds, but I know enough that it has to be sown and it has to be watered and then it has to be harvested and other things that I shared in our last session. He doesn't understand everything. He doesn't know how it all works. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So God created and designed this entire planet, the earth, the ground, to receive seed. And that it, the ground, will bring forth fruit of herself. The ground doesn't care what seed you sow. It doesn't know any better but for it to grow. You can sow good seed or bad seed. The ground knows no better. It will grow whatever seed you plant because God designed it that way. Well, your hearts, my hearts are the same way. God has divinely designed our hearts as ground for seed. And the entire kingdom of God operates on seed, time, and harvest. Just like the world operates on seed, time, and harvest, the kingdom of God, the most important thing you can ever learn and understand and continue to grow in is the principle of a seed and how a seed works and how to sow a seed, how to water a seed, and how to harvest a seed. There is no need in your life that God has not provided seed for.
Amen. Amen.
Every need I have, God has given me a seed. And if I can discover that seed, if I can have that seed revealed and made known to me, then I can plant that seed toward my need and see God turn anything around in my life, my home, my finances, my ministry, my church. This is pretty powerful when you begin to see this. And I've known this for years, but I'm continuing to grow in my understanding of seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be hot and cold. There's going to be summer and winter. There's going to be day and night. It shall not cease. In other words, if we learn how to cooperate with seed time and harvest in the natural, God has provided a seed for any need. Are you hungry? There's a seed. Are you naked? There's a seed. Do you need shelter? There's a seed. And remember, the mysteries of seeds that I shared this morning is the seed is sown in one form, but it's reaped in another form. Just like our bodies are seeds. They're sown in one form, but they're going to be reaped in a totally different form. We talked about the Scots pine seed and how that it's sown in one form, but it can be reaped in a totally different form. And what do you see when you look at a Scots pine seed? I see a piano. I see a baseball bat. I see a log cabin. So see, many times we are missing the seed that God has provided because our need is overwhelming us and we don't realize that God, by I'm telling you the cross and His amazing grace, has given you a seed, but you might not recognize the seed and how that seed can meet your need because the seed is in a different form than it is reaped. Does that make sense? Yes. And so we have to have the Holy Spirit showing us the seeds that God has given us and how to sow those seeds and how to reap our harvest. You are a seed. Everything came from a seed. You are a seed. You came from a seed. You would not be here without a seed. How many of you talked to people after the service about what I was talking about? Because I was just too uncomfortable to explain how you came from a seed. And about half of you knew what I was talking about. So during fellowship, I ask you to ask someone, what was he talking about? You would not be here if it weren't for seed. You cannot be born again without seed. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. So seed created everything. Everything around you came from a seed. I came from a seed. You came from a seed. The church came from a seed. And so seeds and the principle of seeds has to be understood by every single believer. And you need to keep growing in your knowing of seed time and harvest. Amen? I don't care what level you are in God, what place and stage or age, there's something to learn about the mysteries of seeds that can change your life and the lives of those around us. We saw every seed has life in it. There is life, supernatural life on the inside of every natural seed. And I'm telling you, every promise God has ever made is a seed, and His life is in that seed. But just like a natural seed, it's got life in it, but it remains dormant till it's sown, till it's watered. And then there's patience, seed time, and harvest in order to see things changed in your life. Seeds not only have life in them, they have hundreds and thousands of other seeds in them. But they still have to be sown in order to get more seed. Not only is God's Word seed, if you really get what I was saying this morning, and I'm growing in this, everything I have is a seed. Remember the little boy's lunch. And Jesus said, feed the thousands. And they were all confused. How can we feed thousands of people? We don't have the supply. And Jesus said, oh no, we've got a seed somewhere. And the little boy's lunch was a seed that in the hands of the master who has already invaded time and space and lived within time and space but was before time and space can speed up seed time and harvest. And he fed 5,000 men alone, listen, and had 12 baskets left over, more seeds. Because with every seed sown, not only is there life and provisions and a need met with seed, there's always more seed now for the future and to keep sowing. So let's talk about and let's continue to think about seeds and needs and how the entire kingdom works in our lives. Because I deal with people all the time that do not understand God's love for them. Do not understand grace in the sense of, I don't care what your problem is, your need, there is a seed. And it's already been provided in God's grace. You just need to learn how to sow it. How to recognize what you have that is a seed. And how to sow it, how to water it, and then how to harvest it. Think about this again, and then I'll quit with my review. In Luke 17:6, Jesus said, if you had faith as a mustard seed. He wasn't trying to define and describe the size of our faith, mustard seed. He was explaining to us, faith is a seed. And how do you get seed? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God's Word is seed. Amen? But listen, faith has to be planted. I deal with people all the time. They hear the Word and faith comes. And faith comes by hearing, but they don't understand. Faith without works, then, action, sowing your faith, remains dormant, just like a seed until it's planted remains dormant. So we have to grow in our understanding of faith, our sowing of our faith. How's it sown in my heart? How's it sown in my problem, et cetera, et cetera. Those are things, and that's a part of what Healthy Church is all about, of coming together and agreeing together and learning how to plant together, how to water together, and how to reap together the things of God. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to quickly go through this because the virgin birth, without controversy, has to be one of the greatest miracles that the planet has ever experienced. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, a virgin conceiving the Word of God. That has to be one of the greatest miracles, one of the greatest displays of God's amazing glory that has ever manifested on the planet. And yet, I used to think, wow, that was a special event. Wow, that was a miraculous event. Wow, that was what I talked about this morning, a one-off. And the Lord says, no, there were things that happened at the virgin birth that have to do with seed time and harvest that we are to learn as the people of God now and operate like Mary operated. Mary believed God and brought forth the Holy Child Jesus. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by chance. There were things that happened that are kingdom principles that Mary operated in. And if Mary could believe for that, what's your problem? Amen. Y'all didn't like that, I understand. Let me back up. If Mary could believe for that, what's my problem? Amen. If that little girl, a teenager, could believe to have a baby without a relationship, why can't we believe Amen. To birth things in this city
Amen.
that could transform it? We can.
Yep.
I have. Yep. So I want to quickly go through this because there's one thing for sure that has to do with seed that we can all leave here with and begin to act on this at another level. The angel comes to her. Surely you know the story. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel speaks over her that she was blessed and she was going to have a baby. And I love her innocence. I love her asking a question. Okay, let me get this straight. I'm going to have a baby. and it ain't just a baby. It's the Holy Child Jesus, the Messiah. Okay, y'all don't feel this. My bad. I'm trying to hurry. I mean, this is heavy. And then she, listen, ask a question. Oh my, I wish I would have been brought up in church and heard what I'm about to say. It is, what did I say? I'm all right. It's okay to ask a question. It's okay to ask how, when. There's a difference between asking a question and questioning God. Most people are highly skilled in questioning God. Very few are properly trained in asking questions. And that it's okay to ask a question. Someone says, what's the difference between asking a question and questioning? Obviously, you've never raised a teenager.
Amen.
That'll hit you later. I'm going to let that go. There is a difference in asking a question versus questioning God. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, didn't ask a question. He questioned God. And he was struck dumb. What's your excuse? Y'all are slow tonight. Man, I'm glad I'm in a hurry. Praise the Lord. How is this going to be, seeing I know not a man? Now watch this. How's this going to be? How am I going to have a baby seeing I know not a man? See, know in the Bible is exclusively used for the marriage relationship between a male and a female, a boy and a girl, a husband, that's a boy, and a wife, that's a girl. Amen. I'm just being clear. And they have to have intimacy. In their diversity, they have to have unity. Anybody thinking?
Yes.
See, true unity is not sameness.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Unity in God and unity in the kingdom takes place in diversity.
Yes. Yes.
And diversity becoming one. And in that covenant relationship, marital covenant and relationship, seed brings forth life. She knew enough to know, I can't have a baby. I can't produce life without seed. How is this going to be, seeing I know not a man? And that word again, know, is exclusively used throughout all of the scriptures in that covenant marriage relationship. And he gives her the answer. This is where I missed it for years. I know you've never missed it. You've read the Bible, angels sing, and you understand everything. I read the Bible and go, and one day it hit me, this lady asked a question, how am I going to bring forth life supernaturally?
Yes. Amen.
And the Lord told her. He gave her the answer. The angel gave her the answer. That thing which shall be in you will be wholly conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And after it's explained, she said, be it unto me according to your
word.
Oh, your what?
Word.
According to your seed. And remember in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, God promised that it would be the seed of the woman.
Hallelujah.
Seed. Everybody say, well, I'm getting goosebumps again. Say seed.
Seed.
Of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent.
Yes.
There's no such thing as the seed of the woman. Seed doesn't come from woman. Seed comes from male. You know what God prophesied? A virgin birth. A virgin birth right there in the garden. First promise of God to save us is His seed. And it would come of the woman. Now look at verse 37. I'm running out of time. I got to get out of this introduction quicker today. He gives her the answer. Then he encourages her faith. He gives the testimony of Elizabeth. That's how we build one another's faith up, is we hear what God's doing in each other. And it encourages and strengthens our faith. And so your cousin Elizabeth has believed for a miracle. She's conceived. Now watch this. Verse 37 is what I want you to see. For with God, King James Bible now, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word, according to your seed. And the angel departed from her. Now, I want you to listen to the Amplified Classic Bible. I'm not sure how how y'all feel about different translations, but I just want the spirit of what the word is saying. And I realize you got to be careful with paraphrases and things like that, but I love different translations. Listen at the Amplified Classic Bible. Now listen carefully. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Amen. Let that sink in. Any word, any promise from God that is yes and amen in Jesus to the glory of God, any seed from God has the power in the seed to fulfill itself in your life. Amen. It does the work. See, when the seed gets in me, it changes me. I don't change for God. God changes me by His seed for His glory. I'm not trying to change my circumstances. I'm putting seed in my heart, sowing it into my mountain with my confessions. And no word from God, no seed from God is without power of fulfilling itself. And this needs to process in our hearts and our minds and renewing us of the power and potential of seeds. Because it's got the very life in it to reproduce after its own kind. Remember the law of Genesis and seeds? Everything had seed. And God says everything will reproduce after its own kind. Oranges reproduce oranges. Lions reproduce lions. Monkeys reproduce monkeys. Amen or omen. You'll never see a monkey turn into a human being, though you will find many human beings thinking like monkeys. It would violate seed time and harvest. And God says seed time and harvest is going to be here forever. Flowers reproduce after their own kind. Birds reproduce after their own kind. God's word reproduces after its own kind. Any promise God has His very life like a seed in it. Amen. To reproduce after its own kind in our hearts and in our lives. All right, let's go to Genesis. And let's look at our divine design and how God created us for seed. Did I say Genesis? I'm sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 real quick. Little detour. Because I said this morning and I promised I'd go to it. 1 Corinthians 3. This is the church at Corinth. And basically they're just carnal. Churches can be carnal. Filled with carnal people. Immature people. People who have not grown in Jesus. Who have not reached any spiritual level of maturity. It happens all the time. And in Corinth, these people were operating in all the gifts of the Spirit, flowing in the things of the Spirit of God, but they were still carnal. They had all these divisions and envy and jealousy among them. And look at verse 5. No, go back to verse 4. Well, go back to Genesis. I can't find a spot. So they've got all these divisions. Verse 4, we just have to start somewhere. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not proving yourselves? I'm in the Amplified Bible. Let me go to the King James Bible. Verse 5 says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. This is Paul speaking. I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. Do you know how many people live their whole life? How many Christians live their whole life? And they're begging God for increase in their life? They're not pleased with God for a lack of increase in their life. They're disturbed at God. Some offended at God for the lack of increase or the lack of abundance in their life. How many of you know something has to be planted and something has to be watered before God can give increase? See, people come to church and they just want the increase. I'm with you. I'm not putting you down. If you find it that way, call me. I've been doing this a long time and I found out I got to plant something. I've got to water it and then God gives the increase. I didn't just wake up one day with a church of 5,000-6,000 people. Amen. No, somebody had to plant, somebody had to water, and then God gave the increase. See, people want healed. I'm with you. And by His stripes you are healed. But how few are willing to sow the seed of by His stripes you are healed? If they don't get the increase or the manifestation instantly, they get offended at God, they get frustrated, they begin to attack other people that are sharing the goodness of God. Instead of planting, watering, and then God gives the increase. Now, how did Paul plant? He planted by sharing the truth in love. The word has to be shared in love. God's word has to be shared. The truth has to be shared. And it has to be shared in love. And for most people, we're planting. We're planting seeds. I'm a farmer here, and I'm just scattering seeds right now. I'm planting. Some of you have already had certain seeds planted by somebody else, and now I'm watering. Amen. See, I have seed planted in my heart by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It gets planted deep in my heart, and it changes me by meditating on it day and night. But what I need as I'm sowing the seed in my heart is I need other members of the body of Christ to affirm that seed, to prophesy the will of God over my life, to pray in agreement with the seed. Do you know what we just did at the beginning of the service? We watered seeds. Worship is watering the seed that's been planted in your heart. And yet many people do not understand these simple, basic seed time and harvest principles and their lives have gone awry and they're frustrated. You don't need to be frustrated with God about anything. Amen? But if you're frustrated, ask God to show you some seeds to plant in your heart and how to water those seeds. Prayer waters the seed that's sown in your heart. Amen. Praying over what God is saying to you. Talking, it's the Holy Spirit that overshadows. See, let me cut to the chase because we're running out of time. God's word is seed. I'm sharing it now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's being sown in the womb of your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that overshadows it now in worship, overshadows it in the assembling of ourselves together, overshadows it in our prayer time and in our yielding to Him and thanking God for sending our best friend, the Holy Spirit, the water of God that is watering the seed, the sun, and the life of a seed that's been sown in the womb of my heart. And I'm telling you, it will take root in time and you will bear fruit if you don't abort the seed. If you don't let other people dig it up. Remember the guy goes to bed at night, he gets up, he goes to bed at night, he gets up. How many of us come to church, we hear good news about God, and we go to our families for a dinner, and they dig up all the seed. God doesn't heal anymore. God doesn't bless anymore. God doesn't love everybody. God doesn't will for everybody to be saved. Amen. Entire groups. Pulling up seeds and planting weeds into the heart of God's people. And your heart doesn't know any better. Your heart was created to bear fruit of itself. So you have to guard your heart and be careful and sow good seeds in there and not let anybody sow weeds. I love weed sowers, but I just don't listen to them. Amen. Okay, I'm hurrying. Don't. Be careful. Verse 7 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You know, I've read that in the past and thought, boy, that's kind of slapping us down. We're nothing. I mean, I grew up in a church where we were told every service, we are sorry, we're no good, we're unworthy sinners. saved by grace. We're nothing but worms. Y'all didn't go to my church. Praise God. It was terrible. I mean, I'd come to church already beat down and they'd kick me, man, right there in the floor. It was bad, really bad. Look at the next verse. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God's not saying that I as a planter or you as a waterer are nothing. He's saying we have a partnership not only with each other in the love of God, we have a partnership with Jesus. Amen. That we are in partnership as gardeners with Jesus and with each other. I need people planting the good things of God in my heart habitually. And I need friends around me that are watering the good seeds. It's called church. It's called forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but provoking one another. I love that. Provoke. Provoking one another to what? Love and good works. So every time I encounter my brothers and sisters and Jesus, I promise you, either seed is being sown or seed that's been sown is being watered. And then God gives the increase. Look at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Another translation says, you're God's garden. Hallelujah. And you are God's building. Now quickly, go to Genesis. I knew I'd get there. Chapter 1, just a few verses you know, but we're going to look at them and look for seed. And look at them in the light of what the Lord's saying to us. In Genesis 1, very familiar passage. Let's start in verse 26. Because this is your divine design. God made you a certain way. And you can either cooperate with your divine design or you can violate your divine design. And in violating your divine design, you'll have a miserable life. Only when you yield to God and His divine design, how He created you, do you begin to enjoy life. Experience the fullness of life. The joy of living, the joy of serving, the joy of knowing God and our fellow man now. The joy of being a partner with God to make things right in this earth. To bring true justice, God's justice, to this planet in partnership with Him. And so look at this divine design, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. See, man is them. Man is not just male. Man is male and female. It's male and female that accurately reflect the image of God, not just male. Well, I wish I had time to explain that. But it's good seed. He says, and let them, man, that's male and female, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Aren't you glad you have dominion over creeps? Amen. You guys ought to visit my church, man. I look out across the crowd and go, I've got dominion here. Hallelujah. There's some creeps that got in here. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now watch this. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Look at verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Have you ever thought about, there were boundaries to the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve were commissioned by God in that garden to take the order of the garden into the whole world. Replenish the earth. Fill the earth now. How were they going to do it? Seed time and harvest. How are they going to get that orange tree out of that garden into the world? Seeds. How are they going to get those animals into the whole world? Seeds. How are they going to fill the earth with people in God's image? Seeds. Seeds are everything. Seeds affect everything. And until you and I begin to continually be thinking in terms of seed, time, and harvest, we're going to miss out on a lot of the beautiful things of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you'll recall that's where God put Adam in the garden to guard it and to keep it, to till it, to make it work for him. There are five things I just read to you that are your divine design. Number one, blessed. You are frustrated tonight if you don't feel blessed. You were created to be blessed. You were not created to be cursed. You were not created to be anything less than God's very image and likeness in the earth and be blessed. And when man's not blessed, man's not all God created him to be. That's why every church we go to, we should be pronouncing the blessing of the Lord over the people, because you were created to be blessed. And you're never going to be happy till you're blessed. Then he said, fruitful. You were created carrying seed, and God has loaded you down with seed. He loaded Adam and Eve down with seed and said, here's how you replenish the earth. Here's how you subdue it. Here's how you conquer it is with seeds. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not happy. That's why self-centered, self-seeking, self-absorbed people, you and I, before we met Jesus, I just defined you. Amen. We were miserable while we were created to be fruitful. Number three, multiply. 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 If you're not multiplying something, you're miserable. This is part of our pastor's frustration at times. Is we know there's more always in God and for God's people and for our cities. And if we're not multiplying, something doesn't feel right. Why? You were called to multiply. You were called to be fruitful. You were designed by God to be fruitful. You were called by God to subdue stuff. You were called by God to take dominion. You're going to take dominion over something or somebody. And that's why we got to get you to Jesus as quick as we can. Because if you don't take dominion over the devil, if you don't take dominion over sickness, if you don't take dominion over poverty, if you don't take dominion over lack, you'll begin to try to take dominion over each other. Our young people are going to rule. They're either going to rule in gangs in the streets, or we're going to get them in church and get them saved and get them ruling and reigning in the kingdom of God. Because you were created to rule. You were created for dominion. Again, Adam, oh, I love this. Now watch this. Adam was the gardener of first creation. Let it sink in before I get to the good part. Adam was the gardener of first creation. And he was to take the order of the garden, seed, time, and harvest, into the world. I'm gonna bless you. I know what I'm going to say, so I'm excited. I'm trying to hold this back and stay calm. Now I'm going to say something maybe you've never heard. There are many things and names for Jesus that reveal God's nature, God's holiness, God's person. In John chapter 20, verse 15, Jesus has died on a cross for all of our sins. He's died because of our sins for us. And now he's been raised on the third day, early Sunday morning, from the tomb. And Mary Magdalene is at the tomb. And he's gone. So she freaks, which is understandable. Well, not really. He told them I wouldn't be here long. They just didn't get it. Welcome to church. Amen. You tell them over and over, and then it happens, and they go, "What up?" And so Peter and John are all freaking out and they look in the tomb and take off. Well, Mary goes back into the tomb Oh, stay calm, Dwayne. And she sees two angels, one at the head of the tomb and one at the feet. Do you know through the whole Old Covenant, that mercy seat had two angels with the blood of bulls and goats on the mercy seat? And now the very blood of Jesus has been shed with those cherubim angels. And we now can come boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you got the picture of the old mercy seat and the angels. And Mary's weeping, and they say to her, "Why are you weeping? They've taken my Lord." Listen, then she hears a voice, and the voice says, "Woman." Now, but this is powerful. The Bible school students will elaborate on this tomorrow some. "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then he asked her another question. And she says, "Well, I think they've taken our Lord." And in verse 15, she looked at Jesus and she supposed him to be a gardener. Now think, yeah, you're thinking, you're doing good. You're ahead of me. This is not good. Now, how could she suppose him to be a gardener? You know, if a policeman came in here in his uniform, we would look at him and suppose him to be a policeman. If a doctor came in a white robe, you know, and that thing around his neck, stethoscope, that's what I said, stethoscope. We would suppose him to be a doctor. Listen, Jesus wasn't raised from the dead and had this beautiful robe on and a crown on his head, and he looked like a gardener. Why? Jesus is the second man, the last Adam, and he's the gardener of the new creation. Hallelujah. Listen, his first title, the first revelation in the New Testament of Jesus, is he's a gardener. Yet how many of us have gone to church our whole life and never heard him called the gardener of my heart?
Amen.
Everything starts with the gardener, and everything starts with gardening the new creation of which you and I are a part of now. That is so awesome. And I've learned to walk with Jesus and know him as the gardener of my heart. The one that's sowing seed. He sows it through this ministry and through that ministry and through this ministry over here. But he's sowing seed and he's helping me guard the seed. See, the first man failed in keeping the garden. The second man will never fail on keeping the garden. Hallelujah. He'll never fail. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. That was the introduction. I'm sorry again. Go to Mark 4 because I always start at the end and go backwards. Mark 4 is the chapter of the sower sowing the word. And again, many of us have heard that parable, but I don't think we saw the second part in verse 26 through 28, how that the whole kingdom of God works this way. Everything works by seed, time, and harvest. Everything works as a garden. And remember, Jesus is the promised seed that came, and that seed died and was buried, and now God is filling the earth with seeds. Because this is how you take dominion, is seed, time, and harvest. You are the seeds that are filling the earth now, and the new heaven and the new earth will be consummated, I believe, shortly at the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom. All right, he says a parable of the sower sowing the word. They didn't understand it. We're going to go through this quickly, obviously. And I apologize. This is really where I wanted to go. But I'm here. I got here. It just won't mean too much. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 13. He shared the parable of the sower sowing the word. The disciples didn't understand it. And so he says this to them. Verse 13. "Know ye not this parable? And how shall then you know all parables?" In other words, if you don't get this one right, you'll miss the others. This is the most important parable Jesus told. Why? The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed onto the ground. Everything works through seed time and harvest. Then he explains it. The sower sows the word. We know God's word is seed. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but they've heard it. Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are they likewise on stony ground who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Everybody say offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in. Choke the word. Choke the word. Choke the seed. Choke the seed, and it, the seed, becomes unfruitful. Did you catch that? I'm not producing anything in and of myself. I'm just bearing fruit. It's the word in me. It's the seed in me that's producing the fruit. That's the beauty of grace and the beauty of the New Testament. Is that God by grace has given us a bucket of seeds. Any need you have, grace is a seed. And in grace, God gave us a seed. You just got to plant it. Four types of ground. I've got to share the first ground. I'll highlight the other three, but the first ground, Mark didn't explain how the devil gets it. Remember the parable? I'm going fast, but are you with me? The parable was the farmer's throwing seed, but there's this hard ground, the wayside, and the birds are just getting it. And so nothing's happening. Mark didn't say how the devil got it. He tells us in the other two grounds how Satan gets the seed. In the first ground, he didn't. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew, when he told this parable, he told us how the devil gets it. Look at verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one hears the word of the kingdom, the word of God's reign, the word of God's love now for all his creation, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. I want you to think about that. This will change your life forever. This will help us as ministers seek God like never before. Jesus said the way the devil prevents people from changing, the way the devil prevents people from not seeing all the blessings of God in their life, all the goodness of God in their life, is they don't understand. That's why it's so important that we communicate life when we speak as leaders, and that we put the dots and bring the dots together. Because if you don't understand what God is saying to you, it won't change you. Uh-oh. You're looking at me like you didn't understand that. Remember this morning I said, if you get quiet, I stop. And I'm going to camp out there for a while. Why? I know if you don't understand what I'm saying, the devil is robbing the life of the seed right out of your heart. Amen. That's why I delight, and when I get emails or correspondence of you connected the dots for me. I was listening and wow, that just came alive. I know the seed just took root. I beat the devil. I'm a very competitive guy. I don't compete with other churches. I don't compete with groups. I don't compete with other anointings. But I'm telling you what, I'm after souls. And I know how the devil is sucking souls into the pit of hell. They don't understand God's love for them. They don't understand the goodness of God. They don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't understand how much God wants to be with them and loves them and will bless them and what a great life they can have. And if I can get it over by the Spirit, they'll be changed by the power of God. By the power of God. The second ground was stony ground. They didn't have root in themselves. And it said, affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. Man, I wish I had more time. Thank you for my time. I'm grateful for the time I have. I got to quit saying I wish I had more time because it sounds like I'm not grateful for the time I have, but I'm wasting time trying to explain it. Think about this. He said, they receive the word. They come to church. They come to a Bible study. They receive it with gladness. Gladness is an emotion. I'm telling you, it is hard when the truth is spoken for you not to have an emotion. It's good news. So they receive it with gladness. But then affliction and persecution comes for the word's sake. Do you know how many years it took me? I'm embarrassed to admit this as a preacher. It took me years to figure out, wait a minute, this persecution's not personal. The people that are persecuting me, they're not persecuting me. They're persecuting the Word in me. I'm no threat to them without the Word. They wouldn't even know my name if it wasn't for the Word. Think about it. Affliction. Oh, why is all this trouble coming into my life? Why all these trials? Why all these afflictions? Because the devil is trying to get you to abort the word. He's trying to get you to get up, and instead of expecting a harvest, he wants you to dig the seed up and go, this doesn't work for me. Is this what I get for serving God? No, it's going to get worse. I'm in a hurry. I don't have time to explain that. Amen. We live in a fallen, dark, evil world. We're fish going upstream in a world going downstream 100 miles an hour. You're going to get afflicted. You're going to get tribulated. And it's not because you don't have word in you. It's because the word is in you and the devil's trying to get it out of you. The only hope the devil has to ensnare you is get the word out of your heart. And God's hope is that that word would stay rooted and grounded. And guess how he did it? They went from gladness to offended. You think of everybody you know that's not in church, not pursuing God, not pressing into God today, 9 out of 10 of them are offended over something. Now listen, listen, this is, I'm trying to hurry. This is life changing. I mean this. Once I saw this, when offense would come, because offense knocks on the door of all of our hearts, I realized this is the devil, and through offense is how he gets the word out of my heart. See, you thought you were offended because people are mean and ugly. You thought you were offended because you were mistreated. You thought you were offended because people were wrong and they wronged you. You didn't have a revelation of the word knowing that Satan uses offense to get the word out of your heart. And so every time you've gotten into unforgiveness, a form of offense, every time you've gotten bitter about something, a form of offense, every time you've gotten angry over things and didn't deal with it, the devil's just pulling up seed. And you wonder why you don't have any fruit in your life. Jesus told you why you don't have any fruit. And then the third ground, my goodness, cares of this world. Worry. Us preachers at times are champion worriers. Not even realizing worry is choking the seed. I squeak when I get excited. Worry is choking the seed. Cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. Think about how many people have been ensnared, not through money, but the love of money. The deceit that comes with riches. What's the deceit? If I just had more, I'd be happy. If I just had more, I could have influence. If I just had more, I could make a difference. No, you just need seed to make a difference. The lust of other things, greed, will choke the seed. Do you know how many of us preachers lust after other preachers' anointings? Lust after other preachers' attendance? Man, I'm preaching good now. It got quiet. Are all of you preachers? I thought the sheep would shout, "Shear the preacher!" Somebody done got to you, brother. And how many of you know the good ground are those who how many of you know the good ground are those that hear the word, accept it, Because they understand it and now bear fruit.
Amen.
Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I believe with all my heart the next time you see me, I will be bearing more fruit. I will be multiplying. I will be subduing something somewhere. I'll be taking dominion, and I promise you I will be blessed.
Amen.
Because of good seed, good seed. Father, I pray for my precious brothers and sisters that my words would not fall to the ground, but that my words are life tonight. They are spirit. Many times my words are life and death, but tonight I pray my words be life. That it be good seed, and that we will never be the same after tonight. And we have great hope and expectation that whatever we want, we can sow to it. And Lord, I just thank You that You can supernaturally help us experience crop failure on bad seeds and weeds. We all forgive our brother their trespasses as we've been forgiven. We refuse to allow offense, a weapon of the devil, to cheat us of a great harvest. I thank You, Jesus, that You said, give, and it shall be given unto us. And when You said that, You didn't even mention money in that whole chapter of Luke 6. Give, and it'll be given unto us. Sow, and you will reap good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into our bosom. And with the measure we meet, or the measure we sow, we shall reap. Help us to see that everything within our hands is a seed. And that it can be sown in one form, but reaped in another form. Help me to supernaturally see that while it looks like I need a piano, all I need is a pine seed. I need a pine seed. And I need patience. I need to sow it. I need brothers to help me water it. And I thank You that my piano is on its way. Give me eyes to see. Help me not preach and understand myself. Because I have great vision in my heart for this country. And I thank You for these pastors that have labored and labored and labored. And they have sown and sown. And I pray that I've just watered seeds that have been sown for years. But Father, today we give You glory for the increase. I speak seeds of health over these precious people. That Your seed of by Your stripes we are healed is being sown in our hearts. That seed You wish above all things we prosper and be in health. Even as our soul, our ground. Our soul is our ground that the seed is sown in. Help us to stay focused and deal with worry and cast it all on You, for You care for us. Thank You for money, but money's just a tool and it's just seed to be sown. And thank You for delivering us from the lust of other things. That stuff just chokes Your word. So we clean out the garden. And we welcome the great gardener to plant from this day forth precious seed in Jesus' name and for His glory. If you've got anything tonight, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I don't know who all the pastors are, but I've met a couple of precious men. I just want to encourage you in your labor, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, that every time you get up from this point on, know that you're either sowing seed or watering seed. And be patient for the harvest. I sense in my heart a breakthrough for many that are here individually, but for churches, that God's going to water. He's sending people to water the seed that you've sown, and you're going to reap a harvest. Be faithful. Be faithful. Man, I love you guys. I'm going to quit, Pastor John.